Okay, good afternoon. I'm Chairman Brad Holton. Beside me is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. This is going to be a meeting of the Canyon County Board of Equalization. We are the county commissioners, and we meet during this time of the year as the Board of Equalization. The board must examine and act upon all assessment protests filed with the board in regard to the assessed value of any property entered on the property rolls and must ensure fair market value. The taxpayer has the burden of proof in seeking affirmative relief to the established that the determination of the assessor is deserving of an adjustment, including any determination of assessed value. If you have filed an appeal of the assessor's determination of value or your eligibility for a tax exemption, this is your opportunity to present evidence to the board to demonstrate that the assessor's determination was incorrect. Evidence must include documentation of recent sales of properties comparable to yours. Each taxpayer will have 3 minutes to present their case unless the board grants you additional time. We expect that all participants to be cordial and respectful. If not, the board reserves the right to immediately terminate the hearing, and in such event, the participant will be deemed to have waived the right to present additional testimony, and a written decision will be issued by the board based solely on documentary evidence presented. In order to ensure that property values are correct, a board of commissioners sitting as the County Board of Equalization is charged with the responsibility of equalizing value. The charge of the Board of Equalization found in Idaho Code 63-502 is clear and precise. The function of the Board of Equalization shall be confined strictly to assuring that the market value for assessment purposes of property has been found by the assessor. It is hereby made the duty of the Board of Equalization to enforce and compel a proper classification and assessment. The role of the Board of Equalization is to assure uniform market values. In doing so, the board must ensure that it does not compromise value in an effort to either placate to the assessor or to the taxpayer. To do so creates nothing but unfairness in the system and shifts the burden from one taxpayer to another. It is important to note that ex parte communication, direct communication with the property owner, assessor, or assessor staff during the appeals process is considered unethical. So let's get underway by swearing everyone in who wants to testify.
Roger Craig, Holly Hopkins, Joni Irby, Tracy Golder, Kathy Kinney, Autumn Wall, Bree Walker, Steve Martinez, Kevin Downey, Michael Simmons. If I could have everybody raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm that the testimony you give will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, let's start with the Canyon Crest Homes protest. This will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 protest numbers. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And they actually have not came, but there's two other builders on that same protest, and they are both represented.
It's all one subdivision.
It's all one subdivision.
So we can put it all together.
We can put it all together?
Yep. So okay. Canyon Crest, Trade Winds, and Downey Construction can all.
Okay. Oh geez, let me read it in.
Okay,
so the protestants are not physically here at the moment for 26084, 26085, 86, and then 26087, 88, 89, 26090, and 26091. So we're also going to consider the Trade Winds General Contracting. Is that true? And that'll be protest 26107, 26108, and 26113. And Dowing Construction protest 26099, 26100, and 26101. Do we all agree that we're doing that? All right. That's the record of the protest that we're considering at this time slot. Thank you. So typically we have the protestants offer their position first, and then we'll be followed up by staff. So for the record, state your name, and for clarity, state which protest number you are referencing yours.
I'm Kevin Downey, 26100, 26101, and 26, sorry. 099.
Okay. All right. Gentleman beside you?
Steve Martinez. I'm representing 26113, 26108, and 26107.
Okay.
Tradewinds.
Thank you. All right. Either one of you can go first.
I'm going to keep it pretty simple for me. Not sure I'm protesting, more just want to know the fair value. So we own three lots, the first being lot 10, block 2, Riverwalk Crossing, 445 Joy Avenue. Let's see here. On May 29th, 2025, I paid $225,000 for that lot. The second lot being 19 and 3 Riverwalk, 462 Founder. July 31st, I paid $250,000 for that lot. And the third lot, 524 Westover, that's lot 31, block 3. December 22nd, I paid $250,000 for that lot. And so the assessments are all right in the $450,000 range. So I'm not protesting. I think that can be a benefit for us. I'm here more for education, but it seems a little high. It seems a little high for those to double in a year's period. So that's why we're here, to find that fair, if that's a fair assessment. And I'm sure he's going to have some feedback on that as well, because we want to certainly be fair to our customers who are buying these properties as well. So.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin. Members of the board, I appreciate you guys taking the time to listen. This is not something new for me. I'm absolutely protesting these values. I really do feel that what we paid for a lot is a comp and should be considered. I have two of these lots that we closed in November of 2025. One of them for 260, and that is showing a value of 447, and the other is for 250 and showing a value of 447. So the other one we closed in May, I believe, of 25, and that one is a value, we paid 350, and this is showing a value of 496. So I understand the assessor's job is hard, and they have to look at comps. I realize Ada County does it different than you guys do here in Canyon County. Ada County kind of does a blanket assessment where they don't go like subdivision specific. They just take an area and they do a percentage of increase or decrease. I'm kind of like Kevin, I'm learning a little bit on how the county does it in Canyon County. But my frustration with this is that, yes, I do think these lots are going up in value. Did they double? Absolutely not. We have three spec homes on these lots that are all sitting. The subdivision is full of for sale homes. The market is very flat. So it's interesting to see lot values go up substantially in 1 month's time, or 7 months' time, or 6 months' time. So I realize that that staff has probably plenty of comps in Nampa and Star, but I think we're looking in Middleton, we're looking in this subdivision. When we sell a home in a subdivision, it's based on the comps in that subdivision. I can't go to Nampa and say they're selling homes for $2 million so I can get $2 million in Middleton. So I think the value perspective, although we're looking at other areas, I think we're in a brand new subdivision that has brand new homes, so we haven't really established a value yet. I was a little frustrated to hear the feedback that staff thought that we were getting a special deal because these lots weren't being sold on the open market. A developer is going to get as much as he possibly can when he's selling lots. No developer is going to leave money on the table when they're selling lots. So to implement or imply that a builder is getting a better deal, I may get a better deal if I'm buying 10 lots or 50 lots, but buying three lots doesn't substitute. And it sounds like that's what everybody else is also paying in that subdivision. That's setting the value. That's the value of the subdivision. And there's no better comp than the month before January 1, the month before we're supposed to take that snapshot in time on value. So I would stand for any questions at this time.
Can I add just maybe some helpful
So there was two lots this spring, 2026. I just talked to another builder in there on Founder, the street that I paid $250,000 for last July. He closed his lots with the developer maybe one right before the first year and then one after the first year, and better lots than what I have, for $230,000. They were listed, and I talked to Kathy about this, for $275,000 on his website. Those might have actively been listed. But he told me this morning that he actually closed those lots for $230,000. So, and then I'll just add, there's homes in there. It's scary for us. It's not good news for us. That have been sitting, completed, and staged for over a year, and one's nearing 16 months. Beautiful homes. The neighborhood's beautiful, so that's all I have.
Chairman, thank you, and I'm very familiar. I don't live too far from where this is at, so this has been ongoing high-quality custom homes in that area right off the roundabout where you can walk to downtown, that kind of a thing. You have river walk amenities on there, which are really nice. So if you were looking at how many of those lots were built out a year ago, so I understand what you're saying with the value comparison. Do you know how many were vacant versus how many have been had a custom home on them? That's my first question.
If I was to guess on that, I think we probably have five homeowners living in the subdivision. I think at the beginning of the year, there was probably none. And I think most of the product in that subdivision has been spec built versus pre-sold.
Okay.
I think there's a difference. I think the majority of the homes in that subdivision are still spec built.
Okay. Thank you for that. And then, Chairman, follow-up question.
Yes.
What I heard you say is that the sale of the land in that, and when I guess the sale of the homes come, you're counting on that to be your comp, that you're bringing those values as comps for the presentation today. Okay. And then were you able to look at and compare any of the assessor's comps, or are you seeing that for the first time today?
I have not seen it.
Okay. Thank you.
Questions?
No, Mr. Chairman.
I have none either. Okay, let's hear from staff.
Thank you.
We got it up there too. So for those who are not familiar with Riverwalk, an overview of it.
Thank you.
Thanks. He's used to doing this, aren't you? I haven't done it for a while. And so there was the three builders, and the other builder had eight lots. So that's why the accounts are just kind of listed in mass. Just to kind of give you an overview for those that aren't familiar with it. So here's where they are located. It's kind of messy because of the parcel numbers, but their majority of them are on water or have water access, except for the one down south, and they consider that, I don't even know if they call that river. Do they call that river?
We market it
as river, yeah. I was looking for the river and I couldn't see it, but that's, yeah. So the river is down there, not too far. No one can build behind them. I think that's the bonus on that one. So that's that. And this is Canyon Crest, who's not here. This is his lots. We can go to the next slide. And here is Trade Winds. And Downey, you had a third one.
I
somehow missed that, so I apologize for that.
I have it right here.
Okay, and what value were you wanting on it? Is it 250 also?
That's what I paid for.
Okay. So he does have a third one that I somehow missed, so I apologize for that. And so who I'm comparing it to is Star River Ranch. One of the reasons is it is the only subdivision in the entire county that has lots being sold that's accessible to us.
and in this type of subdivision. There's lots of other lots being sold. I have some in the older part of Middleton being sold, but they're not comparable to this. So something that is comparable to Riverwalk is in Star River. And I chose it also because the home sales in Star River and Riverwalk are very similar. In fact, Riverwalk's sales in 2025, I'm kind of with you for 2026, that remains to be seen, but 2025 sales were actually above the sales in Star River Ranch. So that's kind of, I looked at that to decide if it would indeed be a comparable market to be looking at. And so here's the comps by kind of data. All of the comps that were purchased in Star River Ranch that I'm using for comparables, and I think they're the only ones that sold, are not directly on the lakes. They're off. There's one that it's marketed as being on the water, but kind of like the river, it's a little teeny tiny corner of it. It's not much. And so the rest of them are all just in the community. So it has, Star River Ranch has those, I don't want to call them lakes or ponds, whatever, that they have that people can access. And they're both close to Highway 44, and they're similar lot sizes. So those first three and the next three, similar situation. There's the one I said that has a small corner of water. Is that last one, comparable six. So here's where they're located, so you can see. Where they sit.
Chairman, can I ask a question?
Uh-huh.
So on your lot comparisons, we had this probably that predates Commissioner Brooks and Commissioner Holton, but the size of the lot itself, which at the last time we had this discussion, it included parts of the pond that were underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And so are you, that's what you're valuing, not square foot usable space that
the
is
whole,
dry?
The whole lot is being valued.
And so when you're saying a comparable lot size in the Riverwalk subdivision, you're accounting for the parts that are underwater?
Yes.
Okay.
And they're being, it's as one lot. I'm not differentiating out water and land at all.
Okay. And so you valued in the Star River Ranch properties that did not have the included water feature. Is that what I heard you say? Because I'm looking at your comps on there. So you have, like, for instance, on comp number two with 0.45 acres. So that doesn't have, just help me understand on the actual usable square footage of space that's not underwater, or, and that's an excavated pond. These are all excavated ponds. But I'm trying to figure out if we got apples to apples. Excavated pond with square footage underwater. Excavated pond with square footage underwater. Because there are homes in Star River Ranch that are lakefront.
Correct. And none of these are lakefront. And so there is a premium price on those that when we looked at 2026, there was a couple of those selling, and they were selling for quite a bit more than these. So as far as what the homes sell for, and that's kind of what I was looking at, it doesn't seem to matter to the people that half their land is underwater. They're paying the same price for a home, if not more. So the water is a huge draw
mm-hmm.
to people. I don't understand it, but it's not me. So that I didn't see that it made a bit of difference as far as that goes. I mean, your overall home sales are very similar.
Okay. And then confirm for me, these in Star River Ranch are in Canyon County?
Yes.
Thank you.
And this is an overhead view of what the lots look like. And then when they place the home on there, they have beachfront property. Next. Let's see. If you want to go to the next one. Here's a comparable what I did when I was looking. I have a Riverwalk Crossing home and a Star River Ranch home. Similar size, similar size lots, and you can see majority of them sold very close to the same amount. And I'm sorry, I looked at a lot of data doing this, and I think that top one, that maybe why it sold so high, is it was on a pond. I can't swear by that, but that's kind of what I'm thinking. So looking at that, it just, that is what I looked at when I was deciding if Star River Ranch was a good comparable, what the land was selling for there would work. I had no data in this subdivision. I now have a lot of data. As the developer, I think, got inundated by builders, and he sent me every cell from 25 and 20, what's happening in 26. So I have that, but again, if it's not marketed, would you go to the map that shows where the lot sales are in Star River? Yes. So if you see down at the bottom, so all those comparables, the DOM means the days on market. So how long was it sitting out there for somebody to choose to buy it? Some of these lots were purchased by builders. Some were purchased by individuals. One was purchased by an entity that I don't know. It's an LLC, and I don't know what. I wasn't familiar with it. But they were on the market for a long time, and most of them did not sell for the asking price. It generally was under the asking price. So that's kind of, when we're looking at arm's length transaction, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something that anybody could buy, and they get to choose how much they're going to pay for it. And so that's kind of what. Anything else? Gang?
It's the same situation we have. These were thrown out on the market. So we grab, you know, we have a hard time grabbing these values when you get that one sub that pretty much is just going through where the subs are being sold directly to the builders. And then we have that sub down in Star, which is pretty identical to this sub. I think there's very little difference in them. And that those are thrown on the, those are thrown on the market. Those are sales out there that we see, whether we're getting them off MLS or when people come in and they're choosing the builder, whatever the deal may be there. So that's what we challenge with. But then when we see the homes selling for almost the same value, and of course the homes include the lot, we get into that, okay, now what are these lots worth? Because we try to be equitable throughout the county. Once again, that's the situation we grapple with, is being equitable to everybody so that these guys' land are the same as these guys' land. Their ratios are the same.
And Chairman, I'm going to say this back, but you did not find, you've inferred that you did not find any other comparable subdivision like this in Canyon County aside from Star River Ranch.
Not with the building lots like this. I mean, yeah, there's a few 2026, but those are 4 or 5 acre lots. They're not the same thing. These are, I mean, you could almost lay these two subs on top of each other. They're so similar.
And I'm sorry, I pulled from the whole county from January 1st to 25 to now just to see if there was anything out there, and there just is not. They don't. Custom homes, the people buy the lot either with the package, with the builder. They don't do it separately, not very often. So to have Star River Ranch, which Corey Barton, Timothy Eck Development Company, throwing those out there, and that was a huge thing for me to actually have some kind of data. It's hard to do well with something when you have zero data. So that was very helpful.
Chairman, follow-up. And you've indicated that you now have data from Riverwalk. And so is there a need to look at their numbers again, given that, I mean, this is unique where we're coming against, there are no comps really. And so people are using comps for these high-end custom-built subdivisions. Is there a need to look at that again?
They are exact same price as these guys that I have already. So there wasn't anything different. It was the exact same. They're sold from 250 to, or 220, 225 or two, something like that, up to, I think, one along three by the river. Yeah. A couple sold for for 450-ish, somewhere in there, something like that, 385, I think.
And that was in Riverwalk?
It's in Riverwalk,
yeah,
that the developer sold to the builders. I have one builder in there who is marketing his on MLS down by the river for 450. He may have taken it down now, I don't know, but it was there. That was the only thing I had when I was valuing this, was one listing at 450. And then I found out in researching that those down there along the river are being valued higher for the developer selling them. He's selling them at a higher price.
Chairman, I have a follow-up question. Was there thought given to the surrounding properties? So this is the Star River Ranch is closer to Star's development, like Layton Lakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so that whole Aura community development, I think there's a Harrington Cove or something like that down there by Ridley's, and that proximity of that high-end development would, and the proximity to the river, Boise River, was there any value, or did you look at that this Riverwalk is one of the most desirable subdivisions in Middleton? So there's one other half-acre subdivision. I would need to think of it. But having said that, this is located next to some areas, so there are cookie-cutter homes that are directly west of this that are Hayden homes, and then you have, they're just...
Hubble.
Yep.
Yeah, those over there, I think... This side is going to be its own thing, and which it is really weird because it's there right in the middle of, north of it is old Middleton.
Some of that's urban renewal.
And then to the east of it is going to be more development. And there's patio homes being built in part of it. There's regular homes being built on part of it. I think they're kind of waiting for the market to see what kind of homes to build after this, from a few people that I spoke to, but... It will be its own little thing. There's not, you have Lakes at Tulaga up north.
That's the one
that
I was thinking
the similar
of.
Thing.
Yep.
Well, there's one more right below it. Can't think of the name of it right now. Just starting to sell again. They went under a few years ago, and then it got bought by a new developer builder, and he's marketing it now, but.
Did you look at Lakes of Tulaga when comparing?
I don't have lot sales in Lakes of Tulaga. Home sales are somewhat similar, depends on the age of the home. Those older homes are selling for quite a bit less than what they sold for in 2006 because their interior is so outdated. Some of the newer ones are holding their value, and it's there's just not a lot being sold in Lakes of Tulaga right now.
Okay, and thank you. I was curious what year that development happened, but you're saying 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct.
Commissioner Van Beek, we don't value based on what-ifs. We value based on actual data and what we see happening in the market as of that year. So, like pointing to her paired sales analysis, where we're comparing a Star River Ranch home to a Riverwalk home, they're selling for identical. They're not selling as if there's something wrong with that area that's different from each other. They're selling identical in price. So I just want to point that out, is we don't value on what's going to happen in the future. We value in present.
And I appreciate you saying that. The reason I asked the question, it did go to a vote on some area of impact. This has been several years ago, and people chose the Star area. They found that more desirable. And so whether or not we can pull that in and rank that as a benefit or not,
yeah, and when we see that happen in sales, we adjust for that, and so that's why I say we don't value based on future what-ifs. Obviously, that might become an issue later on, and as Kathy has expressed, she's seen changes already in that area, which might happen next year. Unfortunately, we're always a year behind with our valuations because we're valuing for 2025, not 2026, so that might come into effect next year, and values might change drastically. Who knows? So I just kind of want to put that out there that, you know, we're always behind.
Thank you.
Comments, questions?
Rebuttal period.
I'll wait till we're ready to make a decision.
Okay.
I'm done.
Okay, rebuttal.
Yeah, thank you. So I really do appreciate, I think the assessor always has a hard job. When Idaho is a non-disclosure state, I just want to, I know there's a lot of work that goes into this. When we build these homes, we have to go get comps as well to get our financing. And so we really do struggle finding comps in the area. We struggle finding, you know, I'm calling builders and saying, can you give me some contract sales? Like, I really need to build the case for a comp in order to get my home to appraise in a certain subdivision. I wanted to point out just a couple things. I do think the Star River Ranch is a very comparable sub, so I do think they found a fairly comparable subdivision. The difference with Star River Ranch are a couple things. There's some community amenities that Riverwalk doesn't have. There's community pool and community, clubhouse, and thank you. That Star River Ranch is gated in certain sections, and I don't know if these comps incorporate the gated or not gated sections.
Nope. Okay.
Couldn't tell.
Those are gated, yeah.
Down here. The other point is Riverwalk is a very narrow lot. So if you notice, most of the lots in Riverwalk on the water have these retaining walls, and they're anywhere from $30,000 to $50,000 for these retaining walls. So to your point on usable acreage, when I look at a lot that's on water versus not, I can't get as much house on the Riverwalk houses. And I build it on Star River Ranch too, so I'm very familiar with both subs. But I can't get as much house on that, nor do I have the cost incurred on the site that I have in Riverwalk as I do in Star River Ranch. So just about all these homes, the river lot, doesn't have the retaining wall, but all of these ones on ponds absolutely have to have retaining walls. In order to get a building pad big enough to where the awkwardness of the house being wider than it is deeper. And I notice in Star River Ranch, most of those lots are pretty deep, and that tends to bode well better on building the home. I do have to say Middleton, unfortunately, is not there yet in value. Star is definitely the next kind of up and coming, and based on services, based on Highway 16, based on just more of the same caliber of home. I think Riverwalk is an anomaly similar to Lakes at Talega. And if you remember Lakes at Talega, it got built, it got started, it was kind of, you know, going strong until 08 hit, and then it went under. So I just want to point out that these one-off subdivisions don't create the market. And I think that's why we're looking further east to find value. But the value is not the same. We might have some comps that show that, but I would love to get kind of into an apples to apples analysis, and I don't think this is the time or place for that. But I do think that, you know, Middleton is still a harder sell. And I think that's evident by the amount of homes that are probably listed for sale in Riverwalk versus in Star River Ranch. In Riverwalk, the majority of the homes are for sale, and they're all spec homes and they're all sitting. And so I think I just want to kind of, I realize that we have a hard time deciding value. It's a brand new sub. I think that the assessor now has plenty of information to go with, and we would just ask that you would take that into consideration.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I haven't heard anything about, and maybe I missed it in the beginning, but are the lots that you guys purchased in Riverwalk available? Like, if I wanted to go buy one, could I go buy one?
Originally, it was a builder team. I do think that they have them on their website listed. So I do think that there are, like, what I call the leftovers. And that's why I was really interested to see the comps, because I think when you find lot sales, when they're one-offs, that means they've been bought and probably sold three or four times. And, you know, somebody designed a home and it didn't fit, or they bought it speculatively. And so I'm glad that they picked Star River Ranch, because I do feel like that's, although I'm almost sure that those lots weren't being sold by M3. M3 developed Star River Ranch, certain phases of that, and I'm 99% sure they don't just sell to the public. So I think what happened was those are probably resales where they probably did sell them, I'm going to make up a number, 350, and then they bumped it to 400 or 450. So I think there is a difference. I will say that when we, and I don't know everybody's business model, but when I pay $250 for a lot, that's what goes into my my cost breakdown, and that's what I'm selling that home for. I need that house to move as quickly as possible. And so if the lot was worth $450, I'd gladly mark it up to $450 and sell it for that, but that's just not the case. Right. So,
Chairman, Can I ask the question differently? Are there deed restrictions on your lots that, like, can you buy it back if it doesn't sell? So yeah, maybe
I could resell those lots if I wanted. It's okay. Not deed restricted.
Okay.
So if I bought those lots and I went out of business tomorrow, I could sell those lots, or I decided I need to dump some lots. Nothing would preclude me from reselling those lots.
Okay. Thank you.
Did that answer your question?
Yep.
Okay. Where would you like to go from here?
Chairman.
Yes.
And again, we have good arguments presented by both sides, and I'm making a lot of friends with the assessor's office, but I would propose that for high-end development custom lots, that we take a look at valuing. If we valued something similar, where they were using their own comps in a niche market, like what's being presented here today, that represents somewhat of a compromise. And I agree with the argument that STARS marketing, STARS model, STARS proximity, those gated communities, you cannot even get into those communities. I've tried because they're beautiful. They really are amazing, backed up next to the river. Some of those are just amazing. And so I would have a hard time doubling the value in their sales within a year on this. An adjusted value that doesn't knock the builder out and that doesn't break the bank, so to speak, on the assessor's side, I would look at something in between that was, again, similar to the custom subdivision that we evaluated on Monday.
Mr. Chairman, I'm probably even further to the adjustment than Commissioner Van Beek. I don't know how we use very recent sales or choose not to use those, I guess, fundamentally, and maybe this is a reflection of my ignorance in the process, but I do not like comparing the land value with a fully built out house that somebody's living in and comparing that to a bare lot in a different subdivision. Maybe I need more of an education in the process, but I'd like to compare dirt to dirt. And from what I can tell, we have one comp that is, I guess, maybe two comps that are even in the neighborhood of what we are trying to assess the value at for the subject parcels. I'm not even close.
Yep. And
upholding the value that is has been here. So, and I'm not exactly sure what to do with that, where we go from here. So
I would suggest that we reconvene, take a 9-minute recess, and see if the assessors and the presenters have any neutral ground, and we'll be back on the record at 2:20.
Thank you. If that's a motion, I second.
All right, motion made, seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, motion carries. We'll see you at 2:20.